Welcome to Crossroads, the broadcast ministry of Montgomery's First Baptist Church, where you can discover God's personal plan and power to conquer your problems through Jesus Christ. Join us now as God's Word heals, encourages, and enlightens your spiritual life.
Would you ask this question with me? What are you doing for Memorial Day? I've heard that question floating around everywhere. I've heard answers from the beach to barbecues, family affairs to more festivities, concerts, all kind of shenanigans going on Memorial Day, the day the pools are open, the schools are closed. It's a great time to cut a watermelon and just have a good time. Yes, I agree. But Memorial Day inherently, my friends, is a call to recall, because we are inherently forgetful people. Now, I don't know if you knew this about me, but I do possess a photographic memory. My problem is I keep losing the film. That's the problem. And I think you're probably the same way. You see, we forget sometimes very important things. And Memorial Day is an opportunity for us to pull back and remember, to recall, to activate our memory, and express gratitude for the people who have sacrificed so much for our benefit. Well, that's what we'll be doing even now in this service, because the ultimate sacrificer was not a soldier, my friend. It was our Savior, King Jesus. What did he say? Oh, Jesus said in Mark 10:45, I have not come to be served, but to serve, and to give my life as a ransom for many, or to rescue many, it can be translated. That's why Paul added it up in Galatians 1:4. He said, Jesus gave himself for our sins so that he could rescue us. I hope that this service, as we share the elements of the Lord's Supper, become an opportunity to recall what Christ has done for us in sacrificing himself. And then as we recall, we are motivated, we are inspired, not only to express gratitude, but also to be people who do what it says in Colossians 1:10, conduct our lives in such a manner that we are worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we produce the fruit of good works. We are to be grateful and fruitful. That's what will be in focus in the next few moments. Before we come to the taking of the Lord's Supper, let me tell you a story. It's a story based upon the epic World War II movie by Steven Spielberg entitled Saving Private Ryan. I know many of you have seen the movie, but do you know that it's based on a true story about the four Nealon brothers? The four Nealon brothers fought in World War II, and it was believed that two of the Nealon brothers were killed at the Normandy invasion, and one they thought had died in the attack of Guadalcanal. And so they felt like all of these boys were dead except the youngest, Fritz. Now, Fritz was in the army, and he was somewhere in the European theater behind enemy lines. And the high command decided that it wasn't right for one family to sacrifice four sons. So they commissioned a platoon of rangers in the army to go find Fritz Nealon. That's the foundation, the true foundation of the story. Well, as you know, Tom Hanks plays Captain Miller, the head of the ranger platoon that will go find James Ryan. James Ryan played by Matt Damon. As the story starts, the Normandy invasion is filmed. And in a graphic depiction of the horrors of war, you see the bloody beaches of Omaha. You see these beaches consecrated by the blood of heroes. 6,000 people gave their life to storm those beaches on June the 6th, 1944. Now, after that opening scene, Tom Hanks, Captain Miller, is commissioned to go and find James Ryan, the only remaining son. His three brothers are dead. He embraces the task. They move behind enemy lines. They begin to search for this single soldier. And after they finally determine where he's located, they go and they find him engaged in an enormous battle in a French village. The American troops are defending a bridge against heavy odds. They are outnumbered. They're outgunned. The Germans are breathing down upon them. And in the middle of the combat, Captain Miller is mortally wounded. It's a powerful scene. It's the heart of the movie. Because Captain Miller pulls James Ryan over beside him. Ryan is hovering over his rescuer. And Miller grabs him by the collar and he pulls him down close. And with his dying breath, he makes this statement. Captain Miller, this man who's a high school English teacher, he is a husband and a father. He is a rescuer dying on the field of battle. And he simply pulls James Ryan down close to his mouth. And he says with his last breath, he says, "Earn it. James Ryan, earn it." He's essentially saying, "I've given my life for you. Understand what I've done on your behalf. And don't waste this great gift of sacrifice." The movie fast forwards 50 years. And here we have an older James Ryan at the American Memorial Cemetery in Normandy. He has taken his family there on a spring day. The skies are blue. The sunlight is bathing them as he finds Captain Miller's white grave marker. And there James Ryan kneels. And he has a time of introspection. And he wonders out loud, "Have I lived a life that has been worthy of Captain Miller's sacrifice?" He is in tears, and his wife comes to him. And he looks at his wife as she kneels beside him and puts her hand on his back. And he says, "Honey, have I been a good man? Have I led a life worthy of this sacrifice?" And she embraces him and affirms him. And she says, "Yes, James, you have been a good man." It seems like in that moment, Ryan is exonerated. He is validated. He is affirmed that he has lived a life worthy of the sacrifice of these soldiers. And when you look at this movie, I believe that you will find a powerful comparative to our salvation. Let me just identify three that I see. Number one, we are lost. And there is an epic battle between good and evil, the forces of darkness and God's forces of good. The high command of heaven sent a rescuing soldier, none other than King Jesus, who moved all the way down from the glory of heaven down to the gory of earth. He moved from the throne to the tree of Calvary. Why? To rescue you and me. That's why the scripture says in Galatians 1 verse 4, Jesus gave himself for our sin to rescue us. Jesus explained his purpose in Luke chapter 19 verse 10. He said, "The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost." He tells us in Mark 10 verse 45, "I have not come to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many." Jesus said in John 10 verse 11, he said, "I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep." And then he even tells this story in Luke 15 about the shepherd who left the 99 and he goes to find that one. Oh, my friend, that one is you. That one is James Ryan. That one is Jay Wolf. That one is Stuart Hendon. That one is Cecil McKinney and Chris Murphy. That one is you. You see, that's what Jesus did. He went on a search and rescue mission for us. There are more parallels. You see, Miller died saving Private Ryan, and Jesus died for us. Jeff led us to read John 15, verse 13, "No greater love has any man than to give his life for his friends." That's what Jesus did. He gave himself for you and for me. And it's amazing to think that they did all this for a single soldier that they did not know. Miller had no connection to Private Ryan, and yet he sacrificed himself because he was following orders. You see, Jesus was following the order of love. And we learn in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, what motivated him. The Bible says that God demonstrated his great love for us, and that while we were yet sinners, friends, while we were yet sinners means that when we were alienated from God, when we were engaged in dark rebellion with our back turned against our Heavenly Father, mocking even his love for us, while we were yet sinners, God demonstrated his great love for us and that he gave himself on that cross on our behalf. You see, that's what motivated Jesus. He was following the order of love. Now, a fair question comes, how do we respond? Yes, we should respond with gratitude, but also with productivity, with gratefulness and fruitfulness. The scripture declares in Colossians 1:10, if you understand what Christ has done for you, walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. You see, that's how we respond. So I want to give you an opportunity in just a moment to do something that's very interactive, to participate in receiving the covenant of the Lord's Supper. John, I want to invite you and Stuart to uncover the table. It contains the simple elements of the bread and the cup. I believe the bread is really a bread of blessing, and it gives us the opportunity to express our gratitude for all that God has done on our behalf on the cross. And then the cup, what does the cup become? It becomes the cup of commitment. For you can sign up afresh and anew and say, Lord Jesus, I realize what you've done for me, and I promise that I will walk now in a manner worthy of your sacrifice on my behalf. Oh, friends, don't misunderstand me. You don't earn your salvation, but like Miller said to Ryan, you ought to earn this. You ought to earn what I have done for you. You see, there are people who get saved and then they think they bought their fire insurance. They know they're headed to heaven, they're not headed to hell, so they live a sloppy life instead of a sanctified life. You see, the goal of God is not for you to engage in mediocrity and barely get by because you know you're heaven bound. The goal of God is for you to step forward like a soldier, become a sacrificial servant of the Savior himself, realizing that you are called to be productive and fruitful on his behalf. Nothing else will do. So you earn this when you understand this. Now, in just a moment, we will receive the bread and the cup. But the Bible provides for us in 1 Corinthians 11 a rather alarming warning. Paul said to the Corinthian church that they were taking the elements of communion, the Lord's Supper, in a flippant fashion. They were not being thoughtful. And so he prescribes that you should be very prayerful to be prepared to take the bread and the cup so that in no way would you desecrate it. We do that through prayer. So would you join your heart with mine as we pray? Oh, Father, we come before you most humbly, and we ask that you would turn on the searchlight of your Holy Spirit. You tell us in Psalm 139 that you give us the capacity to join you in searching our hearts to see if there's any hurtful way within us. Father, if there's an attitude or an action, a relationship, a reaction that does not rightly align with your spirit of love, purity, and serving, right now, Father, we ask that you would pull it out by the roots. Take it out like foul trash. Lord, we don't want it. Help us before this supper to clean up, to clean our head and our hands and our heart, that we might receive the bread and the cup and renew our covenant with you, a covenant of sacrifice and service. And we pray for that help in the strong name of Jesus. Amen. And they took the bread.
Strength of flesh and bone. in the costly wounds of love at the cross. My worth is not in skill or name, in win or lose, in pride or shame, but in the blood of Christ that flowed at the cross. I rejoice in my Redeemer, greatest treasure, wellspring of my soul. I will trust in him no other. My soul is satisfied in him alone.
As summer flowers we fade and die, fame, youth, and beauty hurry by, but life eternal calls to us at the cross. I will not boast in wealth or might, or human wisdom's fleeting light, but I will boast in knowing Christ at the cross. I rejoice in my Redeemer, greatest treasure, wellspring of my soul. I will trust in him no other. My soul is satisfied in him alone. Two wonders here that I confess, my worth and my unworthiness. My value fixed, my ransom paid at the cross. I rejoice in my Redeemer, greatest treasure, wellspring of my soul. I will trust in him no other. My soul is satisfied in him alone. I rejoice in my Redeemer, greatest treasure, wellspring of my soul. I will trust in him no other. My soul is satisfied in him alone. In him alone.
Thank you so much. Jesus had gathered his disciples into the upper room for the last time, as recorded in Luke 22. Jesus explained that he was going to reassign the meaning of the Passover meal to link to himself the true Passover lamb. He took the bread, the unleavened bread, and he said, I want you to remember every time from this moment forward that you, when you eat bread, that you are identifying this bread with me. You see, this bread that will be broken, and I'm sure at that moment he tore the bread, this bread will be broken on your behalf. And this bread is my body. You see, I'm going to leave this place and I will be captured. I will be beaten and bruised. I'll be bloodied. I'll be broken. And it's all for your behalf. So from this day forward, when you take the bread, you should take it as the bread of blessing and express extreme gratitude for your Savior's service. And that is what you should do right now as we take the bread. Then Jesus took the Passover cup and he also reassigned the meaning. He said, "From this day forward, this cup will represent my blood, shed as a sacrifice on your behalf," because we learn in Hebrews that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission or forgiveness of sin. So for those disciples, for us as disciples, every time we take the cup, we are to be reminded of our Savior's shed blood and the forgiveness of my sin. And they took the cup.
Thank you.
so much, Anna. That great salvation, so full and free. That's what we're here to remember and celebrate. Jesus explained that the cup was now the new covenant in his shed blood. You see, Jesus, on his rescue mission, went to battle for us, but he did not bring to the battlefield bullets or bombs or bazookas or bayonets. He simply brought his royal blood. His blood that would be shed upon the cross, but that's all he needed. It was stronger than a nuclear bomb. You see, that blood and the shedding of it had the power to do what nothing else could do. It rescued us. You see, he gave himself to rescue us. That's why I believe this cup really should be called the cup of commitment. It inspires in me seeing Jesus giving his best, highest, and most. It inspires in me to give that back. To be committed to him, to give back my best, my highest, my most to him. To live a life worthy of the gospel. And in everything, produce the fruit of good works, increasing in my knowledge of God. You see, as you take this cup, I invite you to join me in saying, Father, I renew my covenant commitment with you. And I'm not only grateful, but I promise to be fruitful. And they took the cup.
Thank you for sharing worship with us. We trust God has used this broadcast for your spiritual growth and encouragement. If this ministry has touched your life, please let us know. If you'd like to share in the cost of this broadcast, you may send your gifts and support to First Baptist Church. Your partnership with us will help strengthen and extend this ministry and will be greatly appreciated. And remember, when you are at the crossroads, follow Christ.